Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Peter from Cary, North Carolina, and today is Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 82, the second paragraph beginning with, If We Have No Such Complication. And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, would perhaps be dead. Today's readers are Stephanie R., the 12 Steps, Michelle J., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Marge O. in the text, Nancy P. on page 164, and Craig F. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour moderator is Ann A. The share ID for Sunday, March 2nd, 2025, is 22,213. That's 22,213. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, family. Stephanie R., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Here are 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. I will now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one prime ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve.
Well, thank you, Michelle. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 82, the second paragraph beginning with, if we have no such complication, and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph ending with, would perhaps be dead. I will now ask Marjo to begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you, Marjo. Recovered in Walpole, Massachusetts, and eternally grateful. And I lost my page. I apologize. There we go. If we have no such complication, there is plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he had so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patient mothers and wives have had with alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today and would perhaps be dead. So if you'd be kind enough to time me, again, Marjo from Massachusetts, grateful. And, you know, I didn't have the complication of actually having an affair with somebody or, you know, running off or all the things that often we hear about that have happened. However, I was no princess either. I was insane with food. I cared mostly about where my next meal came from or my next fun thing to do. And I always wasn't, you know, 100% attentive to all the things that needed to be done to home. I hated coming home every day and having to do housework. I didn't like hanging around the house. What I liked to do was hop in my car and go do something fun, whether it was go to a museum or take the kids here and there. And some of that was good. The kids have good memories about going places. But there's a line in here that just, it's, you know, passing all understanding is the patience, and it has mothers and wives. But for me, it was mothers and my husband. Like, where is she going now? Where is she off to? And I had two young kids, so I often took them with me. But again, I just wasn't present for a lot of the time that my kids were growing up until I got into program and I started to understand. I've shared before that I had the good fortune to go to a meeting that opened the Big Book once a month, It was only once a month, but I got to learn more about myself in those once a month readings, because I could see that I had this personality, and that whether it was eating, drinking, whatever it is that I wanted to do most, and most of it was eating and spending money. Those were my two addictions that I just would want to spend money and go places and do fun things, and I didn't want a ton of responsibility. Well, too bad, as they said. I started to learn in my late 30s. It was a little later, but I learned that this is not the way to live. Living in understanding this big book and what I needed to do to be a good wife and mother and a good friend and a good sister, a good daughter. Good, by the saying, just to be present. For me, good means being present, paying attention, letting those people know I really did love them and that I could change my behavior a day at a time. And I've had still lots of items pop up in my head, like when people share and I say, oh yeah, I did that. Oh God, yeah, I did that, you know. So a day at a time, I'm here, I'm happy, I'm present. My husband passed away recently in January. He had 5 years of sickness. I was devoted to being here for him and being present and going to doctors and taking notes and telling him how important he was to me, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. And with that, I will pass today. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thanks for getting us started, Marge. Before we get our first group of names, just a quick announcement here that we do have our big Vision for You conference coming up, and I was going to give you the days there. Let's see, what did I do with them? So it looks like 249 days and 4 hours and 1 minute. So we're counting down from, it's going to be November 7th through the 9th in Newark, New Jersey, and there's all kinds of information, on the Vision for You website. Okay. So before we get our first group of names, we just a reminder that although we value, everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name, first initial if you'd like to share, and who would like to share on what was read today.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Tony
Lisa
B.
B.
Riska
R. Tony B. Okay, hold on just a sec. Riska R. Okay. I've got Lisa B., Tony B., Rivka R.
Leia S.
Leia S. Who else? All right, we'll go with this group, and then we'll get some more. So Lisa B., you're up now, and followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm here in South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. This is a really wonderful reading, and the more I keep coming back, you know, I keep learning, and even just like the readings that we do in the beginning of our meeting of, you know, how we get recovered and listening to the traditions, and learning how it's all connected. Everything is connected to my recovery. You know, I'm learning more and more of how the traditions are so important in every area of my life, and I can apply those in my home life. But he says here in the reading, certainly he must keep sober. That has got to be the beginning, you know, having that entire abstinence and getting food sober. Oh my goodness. Getting clear in my mind. You know, I was always so defensive and paranoid when I was in the food. Like, why did you look at me like that? Or what did you mean by that? Everything was about me. How could I possibly be present for my loved ones? You know, and even as a child, a teenager, you know, being in the food and being so defensive and so moody and critical of everyone, and of course, critical with myself and feeling so much pain. And then, you know, just carrying that on into my adulthood and then into my marriage and my wonderful, loving husband, you know. And I remember, and when I heard from the share, Marge share, I could so relate. You know, my husband's, I was always leaving. Like when I got home, I wanted to go out. And I remember when I was making my direct amends to him, and he even shared with me before I made the amends that he just didn't feel like he had a partner. I really wasn't participating in life with him and running the house and just in everything. I just wasn't there. I wasn't present. I didn't want to be present. It was just too painful. I didn't know how to be present to life. And just the slow process of getting abstinent, waking up, you know, coming to really, and then coming to through the steps, having the spiritual awakening and learning that I have to fit my life into OA. I can't try and fit OA into my life. I have to fit my life into OA and make this recovery a priority. And then learning, and there is a solution, that my constant thought of others, like my life depends on my constant thought of others and how I can be of service to them, starting with my family, you know, learning in step one that it is about thinking about them. You know, I learned that in step one. So anyways, I'm so grateful today for entire abstinence and getting recovery, having the spiritual awakening, having neutrality, and just it keeps getting better and better and better. And to make the living amends on a daily basis to my husband, to try and make the living amends to my parents who I treated, in a very self-centered way. So anyway, so grateful to be here and to be a part of the world. So I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Tony B., you're up next, followed by Rivka R. And just remember to include the state or country you're calling from when you introduce yourself.
Thank you, Rick. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Oh, I've already got so much identification. A long way to go to make good. It takes time, it takes profound change, and it takes God's help. But I must be abstinent. There's no decent home life without that. In the food, I was so selfish. If I didn't want to do it, I didn't do it. If it didn't feel good or convenient or comfortable to me, I wasn't going to do it. My share of the household tasks. I was just in self-pity. Desperate. I became depressed and really dependent on my husband. When I'm wanting, and looking to him to help and save me, to say the right thing to me that would make me feel better and comfort me, for him to look after me, pander to my whims and needs. You know, whether that be buying my binge foods for me, you know, it would be go out and get me X, Y, and Z, or preparing abstinent food for me. You know, when I began in the program, you've got to hide your foods from me, or needing his encouragement to go exercising, trying to make plans together to help me, you know, to get this right, to sort this thing out. You know, you've got to help me do it. And then being back in the food again and telling him to forget all that I just want a takeaway tonight, or, you know, a relaxing time eating some cake. And he tried to be patient, but he did often get frustrated and angry. And then I'd become self-righteous, telling him how he should be behaving. And it says there will be no home, you know, and often that doesn't necessarily need to mean, you know, literally no home, but it didn't feel like a home. It felt like a survival base, you know, a place for me to hide out, and often a battleground. And yes, he was close to leaving me on a few occasions. And if I'd kept on that way much longer, I may well have taken my own life. I contemplated that as a way out of the hell that it was. So I've got plenty to do at home with my husband and in my relationships with my wider family, my mom and dad and brother and his family. And now I do my share at home. I consider him and his needs. I try to do that. I call my wider family regularly. I have fewer expectations of what I can get from them or how they should be behaving. And the core of this new way of life is spiritual. I need God. I can't will myself to treat others, you know, better or to want to give rather than to get. You know, I have to trust God, ask him constantly for his guidance, for sanity. And so sobriety is but a beginning. You know, I need a profound change. I need a spiritual awakening. I need the miracle of God's healing. Thank you, Rick, and his constant help to maintain this new way of living. Thank you so much for this meeting. I love you all, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. We have Rivka R. up next, followed by Leigh S. Go ahead, Rivka.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Rick, for your service, and everybody for your shares. My gosh, it's been amazing already this morning. I'm Rivka R., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Yeah, these sentences, there's plenty we should do at home. Certainly, he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the spouse whom he has so shockingly treated. And I like that word woke up that someone used. Yeah, when I woke up and realized how shockingly I treated my husband, like, I cringe. Like, I definitely tried to take care of him. Like, I wanted to be a good wife, but really, how could I be when what I was present for was food. Like, I was having a secret love affair with food. That's where I got my excitement from and the thrill, and it was all so secretive, always hiding, loads of sneaking, hiding wrappers in other people's garbages, and, you know, seeing what I could get away with. I remember once we were on this long road trip, I'm sitting right next to him in the front seat, you know, and I'm trying to sneak chocolate-covered pretzels into my mouth and talk as if I wasn't eating anything. I mean, it was not a life. And, you know, because my husband knew what sugar did to me, like, you know, once he told me, like, he would take up skydiving if I ate sugar again. He said, when you want to eat sugar, imagine me jumping out of a plane. I mean, maybe that stopped me for a week, but I didn't tell him when I took up my lover again. And he didn't ask. And I, of course, I'd never be honest. And I couldn't keep his happiness uppermost in my mind because I didn't have a sane mind to keep him in. My thinking was so distorted in this disease. Like, I treated him shockingly. Like, I didn't have the right eyes to see. I didn't have the right ears to hear with. Like, you know, he would say, make an innocent comment, and I would hear, you're not good enough. And then I'd shut down and be upset for days. Like, you know, be a victim and try to control him with how bad you feel. Like, well, that sounds like a good idea in my distorted brain. Like, I did not make space for him and value him and not take everything personally. And I really needed God to save me from my bondage of my thinking. I mean, that was it. I was a slave to my eating and my thinking. And I ate because my whole orientation to life was distorted, but, you know, and I ate for no reason at all. I mean, it didn't matter. I just ate, you know, because I ate. Like, and I ate, tried a million ways to stop. And, you know, there was no stopping. Like, so I have, you know, plenty to do at home, and God makes that possible when I take, you know, the actions that I need to take. And my husband has been so patient, and had he not recovered, God forbid, I would have no home, certainly not a home where everyone feels safe and unconditionally loved. And I would be dead because if not physically, certainly spiritually disconnected from him and everything. Like, I'm just so grateful today that God rewired my brain through abstinence and the 12 steps. And now, you know, the eyes and the ears are directly connected to the brain. So I have, like, when God rewired my brain, he gave me new eyes to see and he gave me new ears to hear.
I can't remind
the truth. Thanks. I'll end with this. I'm just grateful to see and hear the truth today. So thanks, everyone, for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. from Baltimore. Leigh S., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead.
Okay, I had some trouble with the buttons over here. Thank you so much, Rick. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York, and so grateful to be on this meeting. Okay, so starting at step 4, I had to actually do an action in my brain. I had to suddenly become a little bit more humble, a little bit more aware that I am abstinent and I'm going into feelings and I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to not like what I'm feeling, and I'm not going to resort to the food. And this is precisely where this action is all about. They're telling you that patience and understanding. And for me, something kept reiterating in my mind. If you're going to go through this kind of humility and kind of humbleness, you're going to come out okay. It's not going to last forever. And as uncomfortable as you're going to feel, you're going to feel even better, and you will have done it abstinently and can continue with your abstinence and your life and your conscience or what have you, you know. And truthfully, that is why I think people shun away from fourth steps or you know, it's too hard. It's not really too hard. If you work that muscle of step three and you increase it each and every day, you find that it just does work. And if it doesn't work, we're all here. We're all out here. And we can give each other encouragement and experiences that we have gone through. And nothing is the end of the world. It is just so amazing. And step nine is I think, the clincher, you know, and just to keep maintaining as we go on in step 10. Anyway, with that, I will pass. Thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you, Leigh S. from Brooklyn, New York. So who else would like to share?
Lisa O.
KDG
from Boston.
Got you, Katie.
Thanks.
Can you say what page we're on?
Sure. We are on page 82, the second paragraph, beginning with "if we have no such complication," and ending with "would perhaps be dead." And who is the gentleman? Somebody Y?
From New England.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Roy C.
Roy C. Okay.
Ken W.H.
Jim Y. New England.
Okay. Okay, there we go. All right. So here's who I have. I've got Lisa O., Katie G., Roy C., Ken W.H., and Ken Y. Go ahead, Lisa. You're up, followed by Katie G. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Lisa. I'm calling from Massachusetts, and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you all for your shares. And oh, everyone's shares in this passage has just really reminded me of how horrible I was to my husband for decades. And it's so interesting because it was about 2 years into recovery where I was contemplating divorce because I could not stand this man. He just everything. I don't even go into any of the details. He just irritated me, and on and on and on, and just talking, making my outreach calls, somebody asked this question. They said, well, is this new behavior? Like, has he just started acting this way? And I was like, no, he's been this way forever. And it clicked. I had never been food sober. In 27 years, I was in the disease for all those years. So I never learned or I never knew how to be with him without being drunk on my food. And I never felt anything because he'd make me mad. I'd go eat and then treat him with silent scorn. And magically, a week or two would go by and everything would be forgotten or back to normal. And the cycle just repeated itself over and over and over. So, you know, lots of hard work on my part, lots of the sick man's prayer, and just acceptance and love and tolerance for who he is. And, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, and he's not like me, but there are a lot of things that I do love about this man, and I'm just so grateful for God in the program to help me see my part in all this. And there was never any my part. It was always him, but program and God helped me realize that. And now it's funny because Of course, he still irritates me. We each irritate each other. We're only human. And sometimes I will immediately storm up those stairs and be like, I'm not talking to him. But then I remember, I can't do that anymore. So when I storm up the stairs, I hit my knees or I'll just sit and pray. And then I come right back down the steps and I apologize for whatever I said or did or whatever. And again, just so grateful for God and this program changing my heart and just changing my life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Before you leave us, could you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Oh, Massachusetts.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa O. from Massachusetts. Katie G., you're up next, sister, followed by Roy C. Go ahead, Katie.
Hey, friend. It's Katie G. Thanks for taking the meeting. I am recovered in Boston, and wow, I can't even believe I'm married today. So thanks be to God that I am abstinent. Thank God, thank God, thank God. That has to be first and foremost. But, like, after that, like, what's the cost? You know, am I willing to put my program first to the point where I'm alienating my husband? Being married has been a lot about learning what a woman does in a marriage. Like, I got married in recovery, and you all have taught me, it's like I'm having a spiritual awakening of what it looks like to be in relationship with somebody else. I'll tell you, just to be current, because that helps me the most as a recovered woman, you know, I spent the entire weekend doing step 10 and asking God to sit on my tongue because I was having feelings, right? And in the past, I wanted to take the feelings, hand them to my husband, snot nose messy crying, demand that he fix it, and, you know, make me better. And that seemed normal to me in abstinence, right? Like, and thank God I'm learning I'm a lot to handle. Like, if you know me, like, thank God for all of you. Thank God for a sponsor. Thank God. Rick, am I still here?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did lose you for a sec, but I can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. The guy came on. Thank God for women who told me to keep my mouth shut. And the other thing I have to be aware of is it's a long walk into the woods. It's going to be a long walk out. Like, it's not fair for me to expect, like, just because I'm abstinent today and I'm recovered, that I erase the past. Like, if my husband or when my husband reacts in a certain way, well, yeah, he's learning to trust me again. Why? Because I've never done esteemable acts. I have to learn to be a woman of honor, dignity, and grace, to get up, to make the bed, to make dinner, to do laundry. These are things that normal people don't have to learn how to do. The other thing I want to wrap with this is, you know, my dad is 84, and I have to stop demanding that he take care of me. So, like, financially, it was only recently that I had a discussion with him that I no longer need his support. And I'm not young. I would say my name, but I'm too vain, too. Like, I'm not young anymore. So thanks be to God for this recovery program, and most significantly for God, and that I can keep learning, you know, that you guys can say to me, well, a woman in recovery does this or does that, you know, and I would be lost without you guys and without God. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Katie G. from Boston. Okay, Roy C., you're up next, followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead, Roy.
This is Roy C. from South Jersey, just hanging out this morning, and I'm so glad to be here, compulsive overeater, and hearing from everybody all over the world. It's a wonderful thing. What had me thinking this morning, and that's a dangerous thing to do, is that it's important to take care of yourself. And part of the amends and taking care of yourself is while you're doing that, not expecting everybody around you to be exactly like you. Because I myself, I'm different from most people around me. I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't do the things that other people can do. So I'm in this program, and it's important for me. And part of the importance of being in this program is then allowing the rest of the world and everybody around me to be the way they are and accept that and not expect them to play like actors on my stage. And that's what has me thinking, acceptance this morning. Thank you very much for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Ken Y. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for your service today, brother. Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I'm reading that second sentence. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. And I read that word sober in this particular context as put the plug in the jug, that the only thing he needs to do is just to not take alcohol in. And for me, that would be translate to putting the food down, putting duct tape over the lid of the sugar container, whatever it takes to not ingest my alcohol, my alcoholic food. And what that has led to in the past for me, in the past, was a what I call dry drunks and or dry abstinence, whatever you want to call it, where I'm not doing those things to my body. I'm not ingesting those things, but boy, am I a horse's patoot, not happy with the world. I'm still ugly. I'm still that old personality. I'm still all of those things. I haven't changed a bit just by putting a plug in the jug, so to speak. I need to change. And that's what I needed to do through the 12 steps. I needed to grow and change and on a daily basis, continue to take personal inventory and sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact, to improve my life, to improve my way of being. So just putting the plug in the jug, just putting the food down is not enough. That's just the beginning. And I'll tell you, when I first put the food down, I was still not very happy to be around people. I wasn't fun because it's hard to put it down. It's hard to be without it for a time. And then that passes, and then the growth begins. So I'm grateful to be here and grateful to share. Thanks. Pass.
Well, thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Ken Y., you're up next. We'll get some more names. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi, it's actually Jim Y., and I'm calling from Massachusetts, West Mass. No problem. Thank you, everybody, for your share today. It's resonating with me huge. I am an egocentric, self-will, one riot, trying to control everything. And I don't know how many times when I've been in this program, when I look at my wife and she talks to me and I'm like, and I'm thinking in my brain, oh, if you just had 12 steps, you wouldn't be talking like that. You know, I'm like, I'm putting my, you know, my will on her. It's just absolutely nuts. I started going back to meetings again and going back into the program, and thank God I'm absent today. And my wife said that's the best birthday present, best Valentine's Day I could ever give her. And it's because I don't realize how crazy I am when I'm not in the program. She says, when I'm in the program, I'm a different person. It's my ego is the bane of my problem, thinking I can do everything on my own. And thinking in my ego even starts my depression, because even if I don't do something right, my ego says, well, you should be able to do that. This program is just such a godsend for me in many aspects. So I just want to thank everybody for their shares. I appreciate it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jim Y. from Massachusetts. Okay. Just before we get some more names, we are in the chapter Into Action on page 82, the second paragraph, beginning with if we have no such complication. And we're reading through that one paragraph, ending with would perhaps be dead. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share? And remember to include the state or country you're calling from.
David M., Florida.
David?
United States of America.
Ann M.
Stephanie O.
North Carolina.
Stephanie O. Long Island.
Okay. So I heard David M., Ann M., Stephanie.
Vasa O.
And Vasa O.
Thank you.
All right, guys. David, go ahead, and then followed by Ann. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Can I be heard okay?
You sure can.
Thanks. All right. Thanks. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling this right now. I'm treating my spouse like very. I'm putting the food before her. I'm putting everything before her, and it's just like. I hate it. This is not me. This is not what I want. And the problem is I'm not taking this program and I'm not taking this disease seriously. I think I could just stop at any time. I think I could just, you know, do a prayer here, do this here, half measures. I'm not even doing half measures now. I mean, and it's really taking a toll. I'm just like nonstop, like every day. Like before, I was like, I can go 6-7 days or something like that. But now I'm going every day. And it's because I'm not doing program. I'm not doing the work. And you know, not going through the steps quick enough. That's another reason. I've been on my step 4 for the longest time. I finally finished it yesterday. I'm like, okay, I need to, this is getting, you know, really bad here. I need to really start eating, stop eating out. And but yeah, this disease is no joke. I need to take it more seriously. It's just like affecting my health. You know, I'm getting weight. You know, my wife doesn't want to be around me. She's recovered, and she, who doesn't? You know, she wants to be around somebody who's not recovered and when they're recovered. You know, it's, I get it. So. Anyway, but I'm glad to be, the thing is there's hope, you know, so just glad to be here, glad to be in the program, and I'm ready and willing to do recovery and go through another day, start another day, you know, not a failure until you stop getting up, so, but I'm getting up, I'm ready to go, so, with that, I pass, thanks.
Thank you, David, and before you go, where are you calling from again?
Hey, this is Ann M. from North Carolina. And
hold on just a second, Ann. I was trying to find out where David M. was from.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. It's David M. from Florida.
Okay. Thank you, David. And we've got Ann M. from North Carolina. Go ahead, Ann, followed by Stephanie M.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm from North Carolina, grateful and recovering today with God's grace. The piece I also resonate with is the part about it is not sufficient simply to be sober or abstinent. I tried that initially when I first came into program. About 15 years ago, I was one of those people that we used the phrase struck abstinent, and I thought I was the poster child for OA, and I had this really nice clean abstinence, except that I thought I was doing it, and I had a number of years of abstinence and a really significant weight loss, and I was doing a lot of speaking at meetings and a lot of sponsoring, a lot of service, but it was I, and you know what happens, pride goeth before the fall, and I had a major relapse, went right back into the food, and I know now that the reason was that I had not fully worked the steps. I had certainly done them ostensibly, but I hadn't fully worked them, nor had I fully accepted the spiritual solution that these steps provide. And I believe I'm well on the road to that at this time. And I think that's what this paragraph is talking about, is that it's not sufficient to have the sobriety, the abstinence. We have to do the work. We have to do the nitty-gritty. And I'm doing that. And I'm grateful, I can genuinely say that I am grateful for my relapse because it taught me what I have to do at a such deeper level. And my recovery and my spiritual condition at this point is on such a different plane than it was previously. That I am very grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ann M. from North Carolina. Stephanie M., you're up next, followed by Vasa O. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie O. from New York. That's okay, no problem. And I am recovering one day at a time from a food addiction and a mental obsession. And that's what I've heard in this reading this morning. Right, it's not enough that I just put my foods down on a piece of paper and on a scale and turn it over to a sponsor. I need to be working the steps, because if I'm not working the steps and if I'm not turning over my character defects and praying to God to show me the new ideals, the new way of life that I want to be, to in effect bring about the personality change that's necessary so that I can make the amends and do it from a place of genuine, authentic humility, I'm never going to stop eating. You know, it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, I mean, is it character defects that cause me to eat? Is it my eating? It's all intertwined. And so for me, I know that I have to, you know, first things first, every morning, upon awakening, upon opening my eyes, before I put my feet on the floor, I need to invite my higher power into my life to show me this personality change that I have to, it's non-negotiable. I had an experience this morning with my partner where, you know, he's upset, and he thinks that I did not take his feelings into consideration, and I completely did. However, today I don't immediately go to the self-righteous anger. I go to, okay, pause. Let's think. Why is he feeling this way? And acknowledging his feeling. And then also going on this meeting to get my head in the right place and my heart in the right place before I send a text message of any kind. Because I know, like, old Stephanie just boom, 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 shoots from the hip, gets it done right away when it comes to things that, you know, I think that I am right. I'm right. I'm working this program. You see what I'm doing? No, no. Humility. Today I ask God to show me the very next right thing to do, and then do it. Thanks so much for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much, Stephanie O. from New York. All right. Up next is Vasa O., and we'll see where we're at with time. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rick, for your service. I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Florida, Port Charlotte, Florida. And I love the paragraph. It makes me look back where I was and where I am in my recovery over the years. And I love the reading one paragraph at a time because my mind does not absorb reading one or two pages. And I mean, I can identify with everything in there, but I wouldn't know how to start, my mind would just get so confused. But anyways,
Yes, I had been, I didn't know anything about food addiction till I came to my meetings, you know. Finally, there was a name for it, why I had been eating and suffering with the food addiction. I had the allergy of the body, the mental obsession with that. Yes, I admitted for that, you know. And I could not stop with everything I did over the 25 years before I came to my first OA meeting. And yes, this is an action program. For me, the first action was to put the food down. And I said, how can I do this? I've been trying this for 25 years. I cannot do it. She said, you need to find a power. We need to find a power greater than ourselves to help us. And I said, oh, okay. Well, she said, we need to surrender. But I was, so willing and ready to surrender because I did not want to die. I was at the point there was no more diets left. Everything I tried, didn't work. So, yes, I was ready and willing to surrender to a power greater than myself to get that help. I wish I could tell it was easy, but I did become abstinent from the first night I came. I had the gift of desperation. I did not want to die. I was around 42 years old when I came in the program. And then, I spent a lot of being in recovery for the next 3 or 4 years, trying to work the steps to the best of my ability. And guess what? I was going to counseling because I was going to divorce my husband because I blamed him for my unhappiness and for my problems. He should make me happy. He should give me more attention. What's wrong with him? He's too busy out there in the world doing things for other people and not paying that much attention. It was always out there looking at him, the poor guy. I feel so bad for him today. And you know what? We've been married for many, many years. And the longer I'm in the program, the more I love my husband, to accept him for the person that he is. Because he told me, when I married you, I accepted you for the person that you are, with all your flaws. He's a churchgoer, with your language and your cultural problems coming to this country. But we did not communicate with any of this stuff. We both went to recovery.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Vasa O from Florida. And time for one more. Who would like it?
Blanca BG from Central Florida. Hi, good morning. I'll be as brief as I can. I'm so glad I got to speak. Thank you, brothers and sisters, moderator. I was not present in my, sadly, in my marriage of my husband. I put him through the mill, and, because I wasn't well, and I was kind of a broken person, and I wasn't able to be there for him all those years. He passed away 10 years ago, but there are miracles because I was able to be there for my grandchildren. When my son had his babies, he needed my help, and I was there for him and for them. What a blessing. What an absolute honor it was that I was able to make up for all those years of not being present for my husband. I was there for his grandchildren and for our son. And even though they're 6 years old and 9, and they don't need me like that anymore, and I don't even see them that much as I did, I am the joy in my heart that I was able to, I was given a second chance. So my message is, don't leave until the miracle happens. No matter how dark it gets, the miracle will come. Stay with us. Stay here, and it will happen. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Blanca VG from Florida. And we've got a minute share if somebody wants it.
Donna M.
Okay, go ahead, Donna.
I'm Donna M. from near Toronto, Canada. I'm so grateful to read this today. Last week, my husband had surgery, and leading up to the surgery, he was very anxious. very nervous. And then afterwards, he was so grateful that I was there for him. And I couldn't understand, why would he question whether I'd be there for him? Of course I'd be there for him. But, you know, after I read this, I thought, yes, all those years, I've been married going on 42 years now, but all those years, even in program, almost three decades in an unrecovered state in program, of course I was always selfish and self-seeking. And so today I am so grateful to be able to, you know, as it says, I have a long way of making up good. And today I'm grateful to be making good. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Don M. from Toronto. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, March 3rd, 2025, is 22,214. That's 22,214. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy P. read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Rich. Thank you, Rick. Thank you for letting me share and just to let everybody know I'm on the train, but I'm going to read really loud and really fast. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit yourself to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you, the Green Line, which is the oldest subway line in the country, for stopping at this stop so I could get that done. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Just waiting for the recording to be stopped.